Some rocks, tell the Ayatollah gonna put you in a box. Bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. What the fuck?
So
I'm looking at Mubin's reaction. I'm going, is he gonna kill me or is
he
laughing?
No, no, I kill you. So here's the thing, is that like, should we be in trouble for playing that song?
Look, I think it's
talking to the microphone. How long you been in broadcasting for?
Okay, I think it's intention, right? Like, if you're a racist type and you've been like doing insensitive stuff and blah blah blah, and you play stuff like that, then I'm gonna assume that that's, you know, just amplifying the But you're not like that, so
how do you know?
You're allowed.
How do you know? Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show, the most inappropriate song ever played on our song, on our show is Mubin Sheikh. My lips are not working for some reason. Mubin, I want to just figure out from you if you can, like, what's the most concise way that you can tell our listeners about your journey? Because everyone who listens to our show knows you. You're the guy with the terrorism update on our show, mm-hmm, right? You're a regular. You've been a regular for a long time. But let's harken back to the first time you were on the show, and we got to know about your story. So you got 43 seconds.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Go.
Born and raised in Toronto, Canada. Grew up at the culture conflict, which gave rise to an identity crisis. High school party in high school. Got caught. Felt shame and guilt. Went away and traveled to India and Pakistan, got super religious, became extremist. 9/11 happened, made me rethink my cause, de-radicalized after studying the religion, came back to Canada, signed up with the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, and been doing counterterrorism ever since.
Ladies and gentlemen,
36
Mubin Sheikh. Yes. Mubin Sheikh. Well done.
And we're done.
Thanks for listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Dude, that was really well done. Too bad you're married, because that's a great opener.
Great pickup line. Hey.
I am the bomb.
It's true.
How close did you really come?
I would say I was in a fantasy, like a fantasy mode. Because, I mean, I didn't learn bomb-making skills. I didn't get to the point where, like, I actually tried to make any explosive device. It was mostly fantasizing about having stuff blow up. I remember riding the bus, and there was a Jewish synagogue that I remember thinking, you know, I'd really like to see this place get hit.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and it was right next to a police station, which served as a big deterrent factor, of course.
Or double whammy.
Yeah, two for one.
Yeah. But the irony is that so many years later, when, you know, I became a counterterrorism guy, I actually spoke at that same synagogue.
You're kidding.
And I told them the story of me driving by over the, driving by the place, and people were just like, what the hell? Yeah, so...
That's insane.
But I mean, obviously not the bomb making, but my guess is, you know, if you went to like camps and investigated, there would have been like shooting weapons. Like, was that something you were into or you could have done?
Yeah, that's the other part of it is I was on the verge of traveling to Chechnya. That was the place, especially 1996 when the Chechen War kicked off. That's where the first jihadi videos start to come out on CD. They're basically showing jihad.
It sounds like you're selling them at Kmart.
Well, you know, 1997, 1998. 98 is also when bin Laden came out with his fatwa against the Jews and Crusaders. The bombings in Dar es Salaam and Kenya. So,
who don't you like now?
ISIS, mostly. They're at the top of my list.
But they're done.
They're not done.
I've read that. TMZ told me that.
Yeah, I mean, they've been hit hard. There's no question of that. But, you know, being able to operate as a network of autonomous cells, I mean, how, you know, what does that really mean at the end of the day that you really hammered them? They'll just spread out.
I remember the first time you told me about this. You said, they're like cockroaches.
Did I use that term?
Yeah, cockroaches. You know, you step on one over here and six more go there and then they hide for a bit and then they come out later.
That's right. It's kind of dehumanizing them, which, you know, we don't want to become the monster, obviously, that we're fighting, but they're pretty monstrous.
So why can't we just you know, go visit and bring a pizza and go, guys, come on. Come on, let's just hold hands.
Yeah.
Let's kumbaya our way through.
As long
life.
As it's a cheese pizza and there's no pepperoni on it, you should be okay.
Well, it's got to be halal cheese pizza.
Yes,
otherwise,
of course.
Infidel die, right?
No, seriously, has someone tried to do that? Has someone tried to get all kumbaya with the ISIS?
You can't. You can't really negotiate with genocidal, nihilistic group, right, who feels that they must dominate over everyone and everyone else must be dominated by them. How do you... What are you going to give them that isn't going to basically capitulate to everything that you believe in anyway? So it can't be negotiated.
Have you ever, when was the last time you went toe-to-toe, face-to-face, literally, with somebody who disagrees with your stuff?
Like fighting, almost? Like
fisticuffs? Yeah, yeah.
Only in my extremist days. I was very confrontational.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If people said anything, because the way I looked, remember, big beard down to the middle of my chest, big Taliban beard, all right? Taliban turban, like black turban with the tail, and then a long tunic robe, right? So I look like I'm walked out of the 7th century Arabia, and people would always give me looks or some brave soul who would try to actually say something, and I'd be like, what did you say?
You'd really do that?
Oh, yeah, I'd be very confrontational. I'll tell you a story, quick story. I was in the Toronto's TTC subway system. I was dressed the way that
dressed
I was.
Dressed like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from 95 to almost 2009, I dressed like that, right?
Did you have, like, little ISIS
name tag? No. But I just looked the part,
okay,
right?
And, all right.
And as I exited the subway car, I heard some thumping on the window. I looked back, and it's these three kids giving me the finger on the other side of the car. So before the chimes, as the chimes...
Oh,
yeah.
I have to interrupt. That's the perfect time for you to open the robe and reveal the C4.
That's hilarious. Oh, man, it's fun. No, well, side note, there's this, I guess, inappropriate cartoon, and it's got a guy with a trench coat, and he's flashing a woman in a veil. And then the second picture is her opening her abaya, and it's got, and then him running away. So,
That's the end of her move, yeah. Me Too thing right there. Yeah. Hashtag boom.
Oh. So, I saw them do the finger or whatever, and then I ran back inside, and I went up to them, and I slapped one of them. And, and I really, scared the crap out of them, and then I moved to the other side of the car. And this old white lady says to me, she goes, you look like a religious man, a holy man. And I never imagined that a holy man would do that. And I was just like, damn, she's right, so.
You got schooled.
Yeah, so I used to be like that. But in the same way, even when you're talking about your evangelical streak, I had a similar, right?
There was no nudity.
Okay. what happens in the church?
New to the Lord.
But I had a similar thing in like a very confrontational to Christianity, even to Judaism, more Christianity because of the whole missionary religion. I mean, the way that both of them are, and they're very highly competitive, always trying to convert others to their, I was the same way. I read the Bible for all the wrong reasons, and still very confrontational. So back to what I said about, do we want to take a confrontational approach or a cooperative approach? And I find that the confrontational approach hasn't ever yielded me any solutions to modern problems, nothing. All it does is just keep drawing our borders in darker marker, right? In case anyone didn't know.
Darker marker.
Right?
It's a great name for a punk band.
Yeah.
And it rhymes.
Well, listen, David Wilcox wrote that song that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Three Brothers.
Great song.
Yeah, but isn't there, as a Muslim dude, isn't there a part of you that goes, yeah, I get the kumbaya stuff here, but really it's ours?
Look, I was thinking about this actually on the drive down. Everyone is entitled to feel that their team is the best team, right? Go Raptors! right? All these teams, if you want to use the sports analogy, right? All these teams, they're playing in the same league.
Yeah.
And at the and everyone, it's
only one team wins.
Well, only one team wins, but does it mean that? I guess for that moment, it would mean that is the better team, right? Because there's a championship and there's a clear winner.
Yeah.
Right, but I think the three Abrahamic faiths, we should look at this the same way. Is that the three of us are in a league of our own, all right? There's a little bit of elitism for us, right?
Whoa,
we're in a league of our own, right? And and it can't really be that because the three are so entwined, you can't really say one is like over the other. Look, you as a believer, you can feel that, hey, I believe that God chose this path as the only path by which he's going to accept people. Mm-hmm. Or you can also believe that, you know what, the God that I believe in, who has created all these things, certainly knows far better than me, who comes from this one little lane, who is the better of us all. I think we can leave that to God and let him decide. Because a lot of times we get caught up in this arrogance. And I believe me, I was there. I was the hyper-religious Muslim guy who knew more than most Muslims, who practiced more than most Muslims. So clearly I'm better. But what's the first thing, especially in the Islamic tradition, the arrogance and the pride of Satan, right, over Adam. Because our story goes, God created Adam and ordered the jinn and the angels to prostrate to Adam.
I'm sorry, you have jinn in your religion?
Yeah. I guess we got to go
like
there, right?
It's like a Aladdin. Devil.
Well, it's like Aladdin, the genie.
Wait,
in
is
the
this short form for ginger? So
no.
All gingers are demonic? Is that?
No,
that's why
no.
We kick them in England.
Okay, all right.
You know, see, we believe that God created three conscious beings. First, he created angels, who are automatons, who are like robots.
Robots in disguise.
And jinn are another creation that have free will. So in the Christian tradition where fallen angels, we call them jinn. We wouldn't say they're angels because...
But demons?
Yeah. So you have good and bad, actually. They're a different creation.
Yeah.
You have good and bad. And so and then the jinn were created and then humans were created. And then God said to both angel and jinn, bow to Adam, like out of obedience to me. But Satan, who was a jinn, said, why should I bow to the one that's created out of dirt and I'm created from fire? Right? I'm better than him.
Wow, that sounds like right? Kanye.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you speak.
Yeah, that's right. So, this is...
So that's why...
I didn't know
so
that part.
Pride, the whole sin of pride, that's where it comes from. So
you're not an arrogant jerk anymore?
No, you know what?
See, I still struggle with that.
Well,
He's not arrogant.
It's very easy to humble oneself because all you have to do is remind yourself that God knows your darkest secrets.
Uh-oh.
You can't hide from him, right? You cannot hide from the creator who created us. So before we think that we can judge other people, we should think back and say, what could God catch us on, you know, at any moment for some small thing that we did even? Because that's his right.